Hi and hello! Today is a premiere at Hände hoch because this is the very first episode ever recorded in English. Small disclaimer in German, keine Sorge, für alle, denen Englisch nicht so liegt, werden wir ein transkribiertes Skript auf Deutsch in den Shownotes zur Verfügung stellen. But for now, let's go back to English. Dear audience, we're stretching our limits here in our third season of the podcast, where we expand our network under the roof of our project Puppet Partners International. And today, due to our very dear guest from Poland and one of our partner academies, we decided to switch from German to English.
Our guest is Aga Błaszczak. She is a Polish director specialized in puppet theater on stage and in film, and is one of the vice deans of the Faculty of Puppetry in Wrocław.
We talked about the puppetry scene in Poland, wondered how puppets probably could help to bring divided minds back together,
and learned about their strategies of networking through the Metaformi Festival and the International Puppet Conference La Canova.
I am Rosha Aseidov. I'm a director, multidisciplinary artist and professor at the Department of Puppetry at the Academy for Dramatic Arts Ernst Busch.
And my name is Paula Engel. I'm in the fourth year of studying contemporary puppeteering at the Ernst Busch Academy.
Paula.
Rosha.
The stage is set.
Curtain up for the 18th episode of
Hände hoch!
People behind puppets.
Aga, so nice to have you here.
Finally. So nice to be here with you guys.
You can do the musical version of a podcast.
Let's do it. Okay. Hello and welcome to Hände hoch, the podcast about people behind puppets. We are gathered in our recording studio at the campus of the school in Berlin Mitte and are joined today by our very special and dear guest visiting us from one of our current puppet partner institutes in Europe.
Indeed. Welcome to Aga Błaszczak,
hey.
A Polish director specialized in puppet theater and one of the vice deans of the Faculty of Puppetry at the Wrocław branch of the National Academy for Theater Arts in Krakow.
Hello, hello.
Hello, Aga. It's a great pleasure to have you here in Berlin. And thanks for traveling to Berlin and being with us here today live, which is rare in these times. Thank you.
Yes. And thank you for your invitation.
Yeah. We already visited the puppet pool and I showed you around. We had a little coffee and now we're ready to talk about networking, puppetry in Poland, puppetry in Germany and building partnerships beyond borders. Dear Aga, you are a very active artist and lecturer. Besides directing puppet shows, shooting documentaries and movies starring puppets, you have quite a lot of responsibility in the Wrocław Puppetry Department. In fact, you are in the leading team as one of the two vice deans. You curate for the La Canova conference, which is happening every 2 years. And you are also one of the organizers of the Metaformi Festival, which is a festival for European puppetry departments. So you dedicate quite a lot of your time to puppetry as an art form. When did puppets first catch your attention and what was your first contact? And how did this first contact maybe lead to a career in puppetry?
That's an interesting question. Yes, I guess my first contact with puppets and puppetry, it was my childhood. My home city is Poznań in Poland. And in Poznań, you have really nice puppet theater called Teatr Animacji, Animation Theater. And as a kid, I had this luck to go there quite often with either parents or with like school. I recall this trips to theater as something special and something that I really, really liked. And also, as many kids, I wanted to be an actress for a long time. And then when I was a teenager, it shifted to the other side of the stage. So I wanted to be director. And somehow this connection with puppetry, with visual theater was much more interesting for me than like classic or drama directing. And also when I was a teenager, my passion for movies started. Mm. So I either wanted to be film director or puppet director. And luckily, I got into Academy of Theater Arts, where I am teaching now. And I started my studies on puppetry department. on directing for puppetry. So that's how it started, I guess.
And in the Poznan puppet theater, did it have also shows for adults or youth?
Yes, some of the shows were also dedicated to adults and to young people. The animation theater in Poznan has two stages, like the main stage and the stage called Vitraž, which is a smaller, more experimental stage. And actually, historically, the second stage, many, many years ago, when Leokadia Serafinowicz, quite famous director and scenographer, was a director of this theater, she established there also repertoire for young adults and adults, which back then, like 40 years ago, was something quite new and experimental in terms of puppet theaters in Poland.
And after you studying puppet directing, you did two other studies I researched. which ones and where was it?
Yes, so it was like postgraduate studies. I also studied in Vajda Film School in Wrocław and in Ivan Vrepayev directing course. It was 1 year course. And I also did managing for culture at the University of Warsaw. So I think I just like to be occupied by work and by learning.
Last summer, we invited Matthias Sparta, the otherwise dean of your department, to our pre-diploma festival, Freispiele. And Matthias told me that a lot of young Polish people would like to become puppeteers, which is amazing. And makes the world a better place. why is that so many people would like to study puppetry in Wrocław?
I think it's because the world is changing, basically. But yeah, to be honest, when I'm observing from the times when I was a student and also now, who is applying for studying puppetry, it is usually a mix of people who either didn't got to drama acting or of people who are crazy artists or who have this potential of not specializing in just one thing, but they, I would say, think more openly to also other parts and other fields of art. And from some years, especially last year, we have like record of people applying for acting for puppetry and also for puppetry directing.
Amazing.
Which is really, really nice. And I said, this is because of the world is changing, of course. And I feel and I observe that also theater is changing. So even theaters, what we would call drama theaters, state drama theaters in Poland, they more and more engage and use the form that we would rather connect with puppetry. So masks or puppets or very, I don't know, formal movement or very highlighted costume that became somehow almost a puppet. So I think this border between drama and puppet is slowly dissolving and people are not really thinking that puppetry is just for kids. I hope they see something more avant-garde in puppetry and maybe that's because they are applying.
What you described with the mixing of the drama acting and puppets or masks using in these plays is also happening here in Germany a lot. So maybe it will help us to make the puppets more present for the audience and also for possible appliance here.
Okay, dear podcast fellows, we are now reaching the first official landmark of the Tour de Talk of Hände hoch. And this is our little warm-up where we have a good stretch in our speed round.
And the speed round works as follows. We start sentences and you spontaneously complete them.
Oh, surprise, surprise. Okay.
Any questions left? All right, then. Ready, steady, Hände hoch.
Speed round. Very spontaneous answers.
This is my favorite place for a dessert.
Just home.
Great.
I'm not having usually desserts.
Fridge opening. I would never leave this outside.
Keys to my car.
This is what puppets can do better.
Everything.
Yeah.
Sure, obviously. On a karaoke stage, I would perform this song.
Something from Disney, definitely.
Okay. Oh. Which one?
Oh, I have to sing now.
Yes. Oh.
You wanted a musical episode?
Which movie? Pocahontas.
Pocahontas, okay.
My favorite season of the year is?
Summer.
If I would be a form of water, I would be?
Everything but ice.
This is my hidden superpower.
Listening.
One day I would love to learn.
How to fly an airplane.
I wish for Polish puppet theater.
To get more funding.
Hallelujah! Bravo, we conquered the first plot point of Hände hoch. Thanks for your spontaneity, Aga. When we visited Wrocław, I wandered around the city and at one point I stopped in front of a beautiful old building, quite big, the state puppet theater of the city. Small version of the Deutsche Theater.
Actually,
amazing. And I learned that many cities, and we already heard it, in Poland have puppet theaters run by the country. Do you know how many state puppet theaters there are?
I believe it's 25.
25. Wow. That's nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How does the local puppet theater scene looks like? Is there an independent puppet art scene too? And do the scenes mingle from the state theaters and the independent arts?
So I would say we have two stages. So this state theaters and the independent scene, it works a bit differently. And yeah, those 25 theaters are basically all over the Poland. And these are like big cities. In Warsaw, there are three state puppet theaters. But also in like, you know, super small cities or even almost villages. Yeah, so I would say this is nice that it's very different public that have access to it, to the performances. And those theaters are, of course, funded by government or local governments. And a lot of those theaters are quite old. In few this year and last year, we got like the 80 years old anniversary, so they started operating just after the war. So the independent scene is mostly groups or collectives that works as foundations or NGOs, basically, because this is the way how they could get any funding, like from grants from either Ministry of Culture or from local grants. And usually they don't have like their own buildings or their own stages. They either work through touring with the shows on festivals or on other places. Sometimes the collaboration happens, like, for example, state theaters would open the stage for independent companies. And I would say this independent scene is usually made of alumni from, of course, from Wrocław, from our school, and from Białystok, which is another puppetry department in Poland. We have two. And these are either people who engage totally in independent pathway of career, or sometimes it happens that they have like permanent job in one of the state theaters.
Yeah.
And for example, a part of it, they do something independent to create something, I would say, more from deep of the heart.
And maybe that the topics which the really feels close to their identity.
Yeah, I think like a lot of people who choose this independent path is just looking for something different than performing for kids, because still the main part of repertoire of state theaters is these are shows for kids, for young audiences. And of course, there is discomfort of, you know, stable and permanent team of actors, permanent administration and so on. What is, I would say, very interesting, and it's changing over the years for very good, is this educational work that is happening also in the state theaters, that the shows are usually supported by workshops for kids or for the whole families. So this is the place when you can really get sometimes first contact with art in general, and especially with the theater. So the experience is not only going to the theater with kid or seeing the performance and that's it. It's more complex. And I would say that's a big mission of those theaters.
When you say that in the state puppet theaters, it's still a huge thing to play for kids, is it also in your study program a part, playing for kids?
Not really like playing for kids, but for example, on directing course, we do have classes that prepares future directors to direct things dedicated to children or to young adults. There's also like psychology connected to it. And as a part of their program, they also have to do a show for kids doing the whole process of education. Yeah, I think it's especially now, it's super important that the shows for young audiences are really designed for them. It's not just like, okay, let's make something nice and colorful because kids love it, which is like this very old school way of doing stuff for kids, but like researching on the topics very well, researching on the audience, doing the test with the audience, inviting the audience to the artistic process. It's super important, I think.
What do you think your students, would they aim rather for a state theater career or independent?
Oh, it depends on the person, definitely. Like from what I observe from last few years, it's divided. Some of them really find their place in state theaters and they work in one theater, they then move to another and so on. And some of them go more into independent stage, like forming the groups also. But it always comes with some sort of choice and cost. Because if you stay with this pathway of state theaters, you don't always get the chance to do like really, really, really what you want. Sometimes, you know, the director said, I need Hansel and Gretel and you have to do it. Of course, you can do wonderful Hansel and Gretel, but not everyone has this, you know, urge to work this way. And also engaging in independent scene sometimes requires to have another job, you know, some stable job somewhere, and then making art sometimes is the second part of life.
The puppetry department is part of the Wrocław branch of the National Academy of Theatre Arts in Krakow, where you can also study acting, directing, writing and other theatre professions. When was this department founded?
In 72. Our department, puppetry department in Wrocław.
But was the acting department already there, or was the Wrocław branch founded then?
First, it was like Kraków branch. Kraków is like the mothership. And then we have two external departments. One is in Bytom. This is dance theater department. And then there's Wrocław, when we have acting department and puppetry department. And in acting department, you can study drama acting. And on our puppetry department, we have directing puppetry and acting for puppetry.
What is your focus as the puppetry department, and how is your curriculum structured?
I would say our goal is to learn people how to be fully independent artists with like toolbox full of tools connected to performing arts and especially puppetry, of course. Both studies program are organized as integrated master's degree. The actors study for 4.5 years and the directors study for 5 years. So it's long time commitment. For acting, the training is focused around getting the acting skills. So of course, like voice work, body work, different acting techniques. And on top of that, we have this puppetry and visual theater skills. So they do classes of classical puppetry techniques like marionette, like rod puppet, glove puppet, and so on and so on. And also on modern techniques. And on their fourth year, they finish with the diploma show. The school always hired a director from outside, so they have this opportunity to dive into professional process of theater making. They prepare the role, the performance, and also they have something that we call individual diplomas. So they work either solo or in small teams or performances that they usually write and direct by themselves or sometimes with collaboration with directing students. So the aim is to give the word a person who is like a fully shaped artist.
And then the directors, would they have like one semester more? What are they doing?
Yes. So with directing, we also aim for very complex training. And the base is, of course, directing skills. So basically it develops. We start on a very like basic level. They have in the first year a lot of theoretical subjects, so they gain the knowledge and also basic stuff from classical techniques and modern techniques of puppetry.
Are they in the same class with the puppeteers?
Some class are combined. The subject which are specialized for directors is very small and I would say very exclusive time. Because for each year, we accept only 4 people.
For the directing?
Yes, for the directing. I would say it's very individual focus on each student. And some classes, the techniques or the acting stuff are, of course, connected with classes with students from acting or acting for puppetry. So they already start collaborating with each other.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so it's also very important. And then each year and each level up, the work that they have to do is more and more complex and more big. In third year, they have to do 2 full shows. And in fourth year, they finish with like 1 big show that they work the whole year on that. This is first time when they can use our professional stages.
And you have like 4 students for directing puppetry and 20?
Yes,
for acting and puppetry. 20 each year?
Yes.
And for the puppeteer students, which puppet forms are taught at your department? I mean, you mentioned some, but can you tell us all?
From classical techniques, we had like marionette in 2 forms, on short strings and on long strings. We have, of course, glove puppet, rod puppet, Java puppet, tabletop puppet, hybrid puppet.
Is the Java puppet, is it like a shadow puppet?
I think it's like the Stabpuppe in Germany.
Ah, it's Stabpuppe. Okay.
Yeah, we call it the Avaika.
And these new techniques, what would this be? Like mixed puppet forms?
It's mostly hybrid puppets or mixed techniques. And on some classes, they just experiment with like different techniques. Sometimes find something new. Also, there's like work with object.
Yes.
So I would say it's more like a laboratory of new forms and new techniques.
And last time I was there, you hosted a workshop for puppets in front of cameras.
This is one of the subjects I'm teaching. Like currently, I'm teaching puppets in front of the camera. I'm teaching film lab, and also I'm having classes with first year's directors.
We have reached the official exchange of the podcast buttons. It will be handed over to you as a question coming from our last guests of the previous episode of Händehoch.
And this was, in fact, the first episode of season 3 of the podcast,
yeah.
Which will be all about networks and the partner university of our program, Puppet Partners International. In Germany, as Roscha already mentioned, you can study puppetry here in Berlin and in Stuttgart. And in our last episode, we talked with the professors Stefanie Rinke, Julika Meyer and Florian Feise from the Stuttgart department about the Bachelor of Figurentheater there. And they sent us a question for you. So are you ready?
Yes.
Here comes
the question of the previous guest.
Unsere Frage an die nächste Gesprächspartnerin von Händehoch ist, wie sie es einschätzt, wie politisch Figurentheater und Puppenspiel heutzutage in Polen sein kann und muss.
They would like to know how political the theater in Poland can be and should be.
First of all, I don't know if the theater should be political, but maybe I go back to it. I think the political part of the theater in Poland is connected from many, many years basically to the history. Because during the Second World War, the theater was basically act of some sort of survival of the culture. It was, hidden, made in private houses. So it was basically to preserve culture and to lift spirits. And then after war, we had the communist period. So like the huge censorship. So under the censorship, I would say a lot of very metaphorical theater arised. That was the challenge, to find a way around censorship to tell certain things. So people would either use the very old text to bring out something that is actually now going on in society. So this period was also time when a lot of alternative theater and especially student theater were growing and criticized basically the system and the people around this. And then in 89, when the communism was over, that was the moment when the censorship was gone, finally, and looking for like new subject and new wave of theater was basically coming. So of course, like criticism of consumptionism and the changes of transforming of the system and so on. So I would say the theater is in Poland always reacting very vividly on what's going on in politics and in society, basically. But I think that last year, maybe not only in Poland, but from what I observe in general in the world, we are very polarizing. So we have a lot of bubbles, and these bubbles are very separate from each other. So from what I observe now, there is this tendency to, for example, make the theater, which is a very on left side, but it's not always looking deeper. Sometimes I have this feeling that it's making the bubble even bigger. So it's hard to see the other side. So from one side, this is my personal opinion, that theater somehow should touches upon political stuff because it touches all of us. But from the other hand, I think it's a challenge to do this in kind of clear and inclusive way. because there's no point of going to the theater and hearing what you want to hear because you're in certain bubble. But I think the value is to go to the theater or, you know, any field of art and hear something that maybe doesn't really work with your look on the world, to hear something that brings you new perspective, even if sometimes it's not really, you know, convenient for you or it doesn't make you comfortable in the world.
And I think puppets or material can help to make it more abstract,
yeah,
and
absolutely,
to make it a little bit less political or like, yeah.
I mean, it should be political, but maybe a little bit less exclusive, because
that's what I meant. Yeah.
The puppet is always there as a sparring partner. It uses you as a mirror, or you use the puppet as a mirror. So you're really asked even more than in acting theater to be part of the illusion, actually, or part of the story, because you're asked as an active audience to fill the gap, which I really find absolutely fascinating about puppet theater, that you are not passive, but active. Mm-hmm. Because without your imagination, nothing happens. I think this is such a powerful and also political act, to all use your imagination to think about something which could be there.
Yeah, and also I think we sometimes focus maybe too much on what is now instead of what could be. I mean, theater in general and art, of course, is a great place to make this laboratory of thinking, what if?
Dear Aga,
yes.
Besides your work at the university, you are an active director specialized in puppetry, and not only in theater, but also in film. This living between the art forms and this interdisciplinary approach interests me. So I'm asking
the question of the artist colleague.
What are you looking for when working in film? What are you seeking on stage? And why do you need puppets?
That's a complex question. Okay, I need puppets because they're very interesting. And before, when I got questioned what the puppet can do better, I said everything. And I actually believe that it's really true. Better for me means in non-human way. So puppetry in general gives me the opportunity to touches upon things that I would not expect myself to see, how they work, or to go more into between the words and every spaces which are between something. So this is something that fascinates me about puppetry. And when I do theater, when I work in theater, in puppets or in visual stuff, I usually look for like the distillation of the sense, of the message, of the meaning. Because I feel like with puppets, you need less. Also, what is really interesting, with puppets, the time works differently, like totally differently. Mm-hmm. When I look on the live actor, like walking, it bores me after 5 seconds. When I see puppets, human, animal, abstract, whatever, just walking or just drinking tea, I can watch it like 5 minutes. It doesn't bore me at all. It doesn't really matter if the, you know, puppet flies in another corner of the cosmos or if it's actually drinking a cup of tea. It's the same level of engagement. Somehow, it's magic.
Do you work with puppets in film also? Is this your main focus when you work with movies?
Yes and no. So when I work with movies, of course, because of my love for puppets, I try to connect and bring puppetry there. And it's also a very different way of working with puppets in front of the camera than with people. Because again, this very detailed stuff, like small movement of the head, works completely different on the screen. And I think this is just combination of my two passions, so puppetry and movies. And I think, again, the magic works there because we are so used to see like faces recorded everywhere. Historically, like when the television era came, we see all the time faces. Now with social media, with Instagram and so on, like human faces. And suddenly when we see puppet, it's different matter, basically. It fascinates me. And it's also a niche, which is, and it's good to have a niche, basically.
That's true.
Because, of course, we had like the Muppets show and so on, but it's very different. It's more this television, I would say, quality. And I am trying to look like high art.
A bit more
puppets.
Serious puppets.
Yes, serious and more artistic, I would say.
And which kind of movies do you make? Where do you... Is like short movies or long movies? Also documentaries?
Yes, so I would say the biggest project with puppetry in movie I did, it was the animation documentary movie about Leokadia Serafinović, which was very, I would say, avant-garde and famous director and set designer and puppeteer. So it was combination of documentary material, which was basically interviews with historians of theater and with specialists. And I decide to stage her life through puppetry. And I had this luck that a lot of puppets that she designed, either for her own shows or for the shows for directed by other people, are still in the archive of theater in Poznan. So they allowed me and Katarzyna Lex, who was set designer for this movie, to use those puppets.
Oh, the original ones.
The original puppets. So we made small puppets of Leokadia herself. And all the people that she met in her life, and we decided to put those scenes in the movies, were performed by the puppets she designed.
That's
so it was
so nice.
Very mixed, I would say, form.
And also you meet the artist through their art, which I really like.
Yeah.
So it's not like telling about her, but letting her art tell also.
Yes, exactly.
That's really a nice approach. How did you manage the entrance in your career after finishing your studies?
I think I was lucky. In general, starting a career after finishing studies, it's a hard moment. And I had this luck that with my dear friend Paweł Kuzma, who was studying at the same time as me in Wrocław School, we did a performance based on Ernest Hemingway's novel The Old Man and the Sea, still during our studies. And then when Paweł started his professional work as an actor in Wałbrzych Puppet Theater, we managed to bring this show to the theater. Of course, we have to change a lot of things and make it better. But it was the first, I would say, professional work, which was, as a debut, good moment for me. And also I was just trying to be very active in searching for a job. So meeting with, the directors of the theaters, proposing stuff. I would say those first 2 years are very important after finishing the school to not disappear somewhere, because then it's harder and harder to go back to this world.
What kind of topics are interesting to you as a director?
So as a director, I combine those two ways. So I work for state theaters and also I do independent work. And when I work for state theaters, sometimes I have luck to choose something. Sometimes I don't. But in independent path, I have this full freedom. So what interests me the most is the identity topics. Sometimes ago, I was really fascinated by documentary theater because it's somehow powerful to have this basically privilege to tell a real story of someone, not fiction, but like a real story. In general, I am also fascinated by the future. I am a big fan of sci-fi, and my dream is to make a sci-fi in the theater all the time.
And now, dear listeners, dear Aga, it's time for a little walk through our Hände hoch Fun Fair with a stop at the lottery booth. In my hands, I have a glass full of questions by our wonderful teacher for cultural and project management, Juliane Menne. And you are now invited to pick one of these questions. Are you ready? Then here comes
the question of the cultural manager.
Oh, I am opening. Dear Aga, in an ideal world, and by that I probably mean primarily a world with sufficient financial resources, what new opportunities, collaborations, and expansions would you like to bring to your degree program? In which direction would your ideas and imaginations lead if you had access to unlimited resources?
Ooh.
That's wow.
That's nice vision, though.
Science fiction.
No. Yeah. Unfortunately. Well, just being here and now, without deeper thinking about it, I would definitely love to expand possibilities for students and for teachers to travel a lot, mostly to watch the performances all around the world. So traveling to see the performances, traveling to have workshops with professionals from all around the world. I would love to build a laboratory for technology, to have like animatronic puppets, and to hire people who have knowledge about it to lead classes and courses. And I would definitely put a lot of money into building new puppets and new set designs in collaboration between scenographers, set designers, and directors and actors, because I think in puppetry, this is the core of quality.
What do you think? Why is watching shows so important?
It's inspiration, of course, and it's just I would say on a level of studying, it's pure learning. You can see stuff, how to do things and how not to do things, and it just widens your horizons. Once you see something live, it gives you the emotion. So, for example, when I'm watching like puppetry shows, I have this the vision in my brain. So one part is looking as an audience member, like enjoying or not enjoying, feeling emotions and so on. But the other part of the brain is always like professional. So, okay, this is made like this. Oh, this lighting, okay. And I think it's super important because sometimes even on a level of subconsciousness, you remember things. And then in the process of your creation, sometimes the resolution or something that you've seen on stage transforms through your ideas, through your needs, and you can use it in your own very different way. So I think it's very important for students, of course, but for the teachers and for artists as well.
Maybe connected to this, Aga, how do you ensure to be zeitgeisty with your teaching at the department? To go with how the world is changing so rapidly and to be up to date.
As a part of changes in the program of studies on directing a course, we designed a new class, which is called AI in Art. And the main goal of these classes is to learn how to look critically on this modern world. Because there's this, I would say, tendency that we as artists, or maybe general people, we either embrace the technology and AI, and we are like, oh, this is so great, let's use it, or we rejecting it without deeper understanding or trying to understand. And I feel like we live in this very interesting moment, because there is no way back in terms of using AI and how the technology is impacting our lives. We have everything based on technology, our daily lives, our, you know, banking, housing, everything, transporting. The whole infrastructure in the whole world is based on internet, on connections, and so on.
That's quite delicate.
It is,
it's
right?
It's just one click away and one cut.
And suddenly half of our brain is cut off. So I think it's very important to understand or try to understand and to try to be conscious of how deep these roots goes, because without this, it will get harder and harder to comment on the word and to make, you know, art about modern world. Of course, we can touch upon topics very like fundamental love, hate, and so on. But still, if we want to follow modern people, modern times, I think it's really important to somehow keep up to date also in this area.
So, apropos Zeitgeist, every second year you curate the La Canova conference about the current state of the art of puppetry, but also about what the future could bring for this very special art form. And this year was already the third edition with a focus on the multidimensionality of the term connections and its implications for the world of science and art. And I was very lucky to be there because I supported Ivan Azayevich with the lecture about our project Puppet Partners International, as already mentioned. And I gave the students' perspective. And while being at the La Canova, I was really impressed by the whole conference. There were a lot of different lectures from artists and scientists, not only from Poland, but from all over the world, and really a lot to hear and to learn. And that's why a question came to my mind. So here comes
the question of the students.
How do you curate the La Canova, and why do puppets need conferences?
All the important stuff need conferences, so puppets, of course, they do need conferences.
Yes.
And also, like, conference or festival is always an occasion to meet other people who are interested in the same topic. So I think it's just important to network. Creating La Canova, it's great journey, I would say.
La Canova itself means new puppet.
Yes, exactly, new puppet. So 5 years ago, I was invited to this project by Ewelina Ciszewska, who was a dean of puppetry department back then. Now she serves as vice president of the academy. And basically, I jumped on the train that it was already moving on. It was the moment when the preparations for the very first edition already started. First, I helped as coordinator of the whole conference for the first edition. Evelina was curating the whole thing. I was helping her. And it was like a big journey because I somehow thought it's going to be, you know, university conference. The good synergy happened and we were like, yeah, let's go big. And suddenly this small university conference started to be half conference, half festival, half laboratory. And after the first edition, we were like, okay, so we cannot go any lower. We have to go just up and up. And for the second edition, who was in 2023, I was coordinating and co-curating together with Evelina. The subject back then was perceptions. And this year, again, I was coordinating the whole thing and co-curating. And as you mentioned, we focused on the subject connections. So it's amazing, amazing journey. And we already are thinking about the next edition. For now, we are also focusing on our Metaforma Festival. Because as a puppetry department, we have this two ongoing events. And both work as a biennale. So one year there is Metaforma Festival, next year Lalkanova.
And why are both of these important to the puppetry department?
I think both events supplement each other very well. So Lalkanova focuses more on this scientific part and on more experimental things. And it's a space who is dedicated to, of course, students, teachers, but also very much to artists, to researchers, to scientists. Mm-hmm. And the festival Metaforme is more of a student event. So it brings theater schools from all over the Europe. And it's like very intense exchange of this student energy and of the youngest theater.
There's a shift of generations happening also in your department. Could you describe what maybe are changes to a tradition made in the department through you as a team of with Mateusz and Anna?
And Anna, yes, yeah. Yes. Almost 10 years ago when I was finishing my studies, it was very different place. So, of course, there's this generation change, but I think the theater itself and puppet theater is changing very much in Poland. And in terms of programming, for example, the change started, let's say, before us, when Evelina Ciszewska was a dean and Anna Guzik, who now is a dean, was a vice dean. They started to put a lot of new classes. There was a need to refresh a lot of stuff. It takes time, basically. It's not possible to change things like overnight. Since 2 years, there was another shift. So Anna Guzik became a dean, Mateusz Barta and I, we are vice deans. And because we are the, let's say, the younger generation of teachers, and we have both, me and Mateusz, this experience of graduating from the school. We are really trying to be this bridge between the students, their world, their needs, and the world and needs of, for example, teaching staff, which is in very different ages. We have a lot of teachers, a lot of professionalists, and some of them teaches there for a very, very long time.
Aga, before we reach the final destination of our talk, we have a quick stop in a category which is called tips and tricks. Here we gather hacks for our listeners and for ourselves. In Germany, we are currently establishing a master's program for directing in puppet theater. You're teaching this field in Wrocław, so I'm wondering, What would be your tips and tricks for directors who want to start to work with puppeteers and with puppets?
So it might sound banal, but first of all, I would say watch as much as you can to get inspired and to see how the puppetry works in practice. So then I would say engage in the puppet theater or with puppetry group, even as assistant, even as observer, even as a help. Again, to see how it works in practice and to get like real contact with puppetry. Then I would say experiment. So be open to make a puppet and be open to fail. Also, again, network. So look for the people who are also interested. In general, like festivals or conferences, this is a good way to connect with other people, maybe to find some future partners. And I would say be brave. Maybe think of a dream. What story would you love to tell? And focus on trying to say that story through puppetry and see what comes up.
So, yeah, thank you for these tricks.
Yes.
And now we reached the last question of Hände hoch, which will not be asked by us, but by you, to our next guest of the podcast. In episode 19 of Hände hoch, we will talk with the Berlin-based Kaffee mit Zucker Collective, in short KMZ, KMZ. Kaffee mit Zucker means coffee with sugar.
And KMZ is the performance group of Laia Rica, Antonio Cereso, Jaima Piedra Cordova, and Daniela de Pomar. Their performances use biographical elements, and the research about specific materials such as corn, coal, or coffee and sugar is a starting point to ask questions about colonialism and post-colonialism. So, Aga, do you have a question for the KMZ collective? Then we are ready for
the question to the next guest.
Okay, so the question is there any object that you haven't worked with yet or you haven't experimented with yet, but you are dreaming of using it and turning it into a part of your performance?
Thanks for this question. We are happy to take them into the next episode. Let's see how they answer. So now we have reached the end of our talk. Dear Aga, thank you so much for your time. And thanks so much for taking the effort and coming to Berlin.
Thank you for invitation and for a lovely time
here. Yeah, it was a great pleasure to have you as a guest. And in German, it war super schön gewesen.
Yeah, thank you for this nice talk.
And Paula, high five to us for our first episode in English. Woo! We survived and we did it. For now, this will be a one-timer, but you never know what the future holds. In the meantime, please like and subscribe to our podcast and share it with the whole wide world. You know the social media dress code, likes are the new black. We will link down all the information about the puppetry department at the Ernst Busch Academy for Dramatic Arts in Berlin, and of course the link to the Wroclaw Department of Puppetry in the info box below, as well as the website of Aga Bostak.
And if you can't get enough of puppets, you are very welcome to visit our tours through the Puppet Pool or one of our student shows in Berlin. You can find all the dates and links to tickets on our website, and also all the information about how to apply to study puppeteering. So check out the info box.
And email us. Feedback, wishes, praises and ideas can be sent to presse@hfs-berlin.de, keyword Hände hoch.
Share, keep on listening and subscribe to us on Spotify or wherever you are listening right now.
Dear Aga, thanks again for being our guest today. And best wishes to Mateusz, Anna and all the other puppet people in Wrocław.
Thank you.
And dear audience, take care and goodbye. We'll talk soon in the next episode of
Hände hoch!
Juhu!
Well done! My limits of the words spoken for the next week. Check.
Check. You have like this iPhone step counter, but... you're on the word.
The word.
10,000 words.